turning astray of the path that was left long ago. All we leave behind, time after time, is a legacy with nothing to show. Now our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the day?
Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This is maybe a little short episode, but this is going to be episode number 136. And recently, this last weekend on Friday and Saturday, I went to the HEAV conference, which stands for Home Educators Association of Virginia. And ordinarily, I've been to one of these about 5 years ago, but ordinarily my wife goes. But Joel Salatin was going to be there this year, and my oldest son wanted to certainly go see him, and so I wanted to as well, and so made plans to be there on Friday and Saturday. And so this message or this episode is actually going to be a short review of the things that I learned and the way in which that was done and the HEAV conference itself. And so hopefully it should be an encouragement to those of you who are homeschooling. And for those of you who are not homeschooling, hopefully it will be an encouragement to be a homeschooler. And obviously I believe, as you'll see from the introduction under the host section there, if you're not familiar with it, I believe that homeschooling is probably one of the greatest things that you can do in building a legacy, because it enables you to have the kind of impact upon your children that you want to be able to have. It enables you to maximize that time and to be able to pass on a heritage and a legacy for them. And it unplugs the bad legacy that is being transferred to them in the government schools and that kind of thing. So I'm all in favor of homeschooling and was able to go and learn a few things and be inspired a little bit, instructed a little bit, and so encouraged. So I wanted to pass on a little bit of that. Before we do that, though, I want to just give a little bit of announcements and keep you updated. Make sure that you are aware of all the ways in which you can support the show. I appreciate those of you who are doing that. And, of course, this is, not just a labor of love. I do like to do these and can do them when I have time and find time to do them. And, of course, I'm hoping that it will be able to encourage some of you out there. But it also is nice to be able to do things and make a little bit of profit. I'm not a nonprofit organization. So all of these announcements, of course, like most of them in an introductory segment, are designed to help support the show. And so you can do that a number of ways. You can do that by purchasing things. You can also do that without purchasing things. And one of the easiest way, of course, is to become a registered user. This helps maximize my time and your time, so that you'll be made aware of any time that there is a new change to the website. You'll be notified by email. You can do that on the center right column as well as in the show notes. Second up is you can tell your friends and family and spread the word about the Legacy Podcast. You can do that through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and let them know what is going on and help them to become a listener as well. And then thirdly is you can visit the various affiliates that we have. We have several of them listed on the center right column. All of them have something to do with building the legacy. And I have either used them in the past or currently are using these vendors. Some of you probably already are. And if you are, I encourage you to go through the website. If you're not already going through somebody else's to support them as an affiliate, then I will be able to get the commission from any purchase that you have through them that helps support the show. I appreciate you doing that. And so check out the affiliates that we have there. And then finally, support the show by becoming a legacy partner. You can do this for $30 a year. This helps support the show, but it also gives you exclusive access to some vendor-only website. And you have downloadable material there as well as some vendors that you get discounts for, and some material that is only made available to you. So check out the Legacy Partner Program. Okay, so that takes care of the introduction. So now let's go ahead and give it just a short review of the HEAV conference. And again, HEAV stands for Home Educators Association of Virginia. And I want to just begin by saying that here in Virginia, we have a really great homeschool conference. In fact, there are people that come from other states nearby and sometimes even far away, because we're able to have such great speakers come and we have such a great movement here. There's so many homeschoolers in this state, especially when it comes to Christian homeschoolers, because we have an exemption in our state that allows us to exempt out of many of the aggravating problems that are associated with homeschooling. And so that is a benefit of living in the state. And of course, Michael Ferris, who's one of the ones that I heard, he is instrumental in making a lot of these things happen. And we've, of course, he is the president of the HSLDA, which is the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And he, as well as some of the old-time homeschoolers in the HEAV organization, are what made the HEAV possible. And so each year they put this on, and it is just spectacular. And just to kind of give you an idea of the amount of people that are there, I think this year there was over 25,000 people who registered to come to the HEAV conference. That's a significant amount of people that you can imagine. Now, of course, we got a long ways to go. I think it was Michael Ferris maybe was talking about how it would be fantastic if we were able to take some ground further and be able to actually not have it at the convention center, but actually to have it at the Coliseum or something like that, and have 50,000 or 60,000 be able to be in attendance and have the keynotes down at the thing and the Coliseum filled with people listening to them. That would just be magnificent, and certainly that is the goal that many of us have in mind. But just to kind of give you a picture of the amount of work that goes into it, there were over 800 volunteers that worked with the HEAV organization to be able to put this on. And, of course, they did a great job. And there were, of course, the regular convention security and regular vendors there. But there was also just tons of other homeschool associated and HEAV associated vendors and people to help out, and it was just fantastic to be able to see that great thing. And I came away with a couple of things. First of all, one of the things I came away with is sometimes when you're homeschooling, especially when you're homeschooling in a rural environment where I am, that there are other homeschoolers and you're friends with some other homeschoolers, but until you get together with, 25,000 other homeschooling families or homeschoolers, and you see how many are really involved, it really gives you some encouragement to know that you're not alone in this fight. And, when they talk about the legislative progress that is being made by homeschoolers in Virginia, it's because we're not alone. And it's because, there's a great deal of support that is out there. And when you go to a conference like this, it just helps to reiterate that. And another thing that I noticed, of course, and you've probably noticed this already when you're around homeschooling families, they love kids. It's great to be able to see. And of course, the Marriott, which is right across from the convention center, which was the place where the HEAV conference was being conducted, the Marriott had out front just tons and tons of 15-passenger and 12-passenger vans and minivans, and all the places to park around there were full of minivans. And it's just great to see so many families with large families, and it brings some encouragement, because even if we cannot legislate our way into a more prosperous society, or even if we can't win our way through faith into a more prosperous society, we can certainly make some ground by having more kids. And I can see some progress in that. And that's encouraging. And another thing is, with regards to that, is it's so nice to see families that are oriented around the family. And just to give an example of that, where do you go where you can see so many moms, just pulling aside their families in a corner, throwing a towel over her and breastfeeding? And, you don't find that except among homeschooling families that, do that on a regular basis and are comfortable doing that. And it just goes to show how able homeschooling families are to work together in various environments, but also just how much love they have for the family, what they're willing to do, toting their carts around with all their academic material and school books and everything else, and still being able to make it to the various lectures that they want to go to. And it's fantastic to see all that. It was real encouragement for that. And there was a wide variety of speakers that we could go to. There was a great deal of different ones. And I want to put a link in the show notes, of course, at the end of this. But if you want to be able to acquire the MP3s for this, you can actually purchase them, and you'll be able to hear all the various speakers. And what an opportunity, if you did not have an opportunity to go to it, for you to be able to hear some of the best minds when it comes to homeschooling and curriculum and everything else. And you'll be able to acquire that without even actually having to go to the conference. And I think it's pretty spendy, but for all the voices that are on that MP3, it's certainly well worth. That's what I've done in the past. Of course, I was able to go this year, and so probably not going to purchase it this year. But in the past, I've purchased the MP3 and listened to most of them, and that has been beneficial. Of course, the highlight for many of the conference itself was the Duggar family came. And originally, it was just going to be a few of them, but it turned out that we actually, including the mom and dad, there were, I think, maybe 19 of them. I think two of the kids were unable to come. And so that's significant in itself. Of course, these people are celebrities and, known worldwide, in fact. And to be able to have them at the conference was just phenomenal. You had to get tickets, but that was part of the sign-up fee for the conference. And they split you up based upon when you signed up, when you got to go and hear them. And it was a real treat to be able to see them, although that was probably the most discouraging part of the conference itself was listening to the Duggars. Now, I know that they say that they are humble and, they've got a lot of problems, a lot of faults. And if you've seen their show, 19 and Counting, you can probably see, some of the mischievousness of their kids or something like that. I guess I've never really seen it, but I was somewhat encouraged and somewhat discouraged by watching them because it seemed like they were just so perfect. I mean, all their kids get up, they all play violin, they all play all these different musics, and they had sang in like 9-part harmony or something. And they were all beautiful kids. The mom and dad both had great smiles, and Jim Bob's got beautiful hair and he's not losing any of it. It's perfectly in place. And the mom's had 19 kids, but she's all thin, and it's almost like it's too perfect, And that was a little bit discouraging for me. And then to make things worse, they're talking about not having TVs in their home. We got a TV in our home, and we try to limit to a lot of extent, but they're talking about not having their TVs in their home. And they said about how, and at that point I was already discouraged by all that was going on, thinking about, how great they'd play together and all the music, and my kids fight all the time. And so it was a little frustrating there. But to make matters worse, they talk about, well, if you don't have TV, then your kids learn to do other stuff. And one of the things my kids love to do is they like to bake cookies and take them down to the firehouse and down to the police station and give it to the public servants. And that just about was enough for me. I mean, that just seems a little overboard. But that's good for them, and I'm glad they're able to do that. Not so much here, although I'd love to be able to, but we can't. So anyway, that was the Duggars, and you can probably hear them on the MP3 as well. And, of course, you're probably more familiar with them than I am. So the next up was I actually went to a talk by Andrew Pudua. And if you're not familiar with him, he's incredible. I think he's Roman Catholic, but he has got just a great way of communicating and ordinarily very, very funny. And most of his talks are talking about learning and reading and literature and writing and things like that. But this talk was actually titled Conquering Corrupt Culture by Raising Christian Communicators. And as he went through it, he actually used each of those words kind of as talking points for his actual talk. And so he walked through those, and it was a really good talk in the sense that he encourages the homeschoolers there, encouraged us not to be on the defensive, but to actually be on the offensive. And that the only way we're really going to be able to gain ground is to be on the offensive. And told us to actually go about the process of trying to recruit and raise an army. That's the whole idea behind raising Christian communicators, is not raising in terms of raising up children, although that can be done as well. That's really a slow process. What he was talking about is we actually need to be recruiting people into homeschooling. And the way that he said it was really good. He says, you know, we ought to find people that we know that are Christians, maybe in our church or something like that, that are not homeschooling and have kids, and going up to them and thinking, what are you thinking? Why are your kids still in the public school? You need to take them out. And evangelizing for the sake of homeschooling. And that's a really good concept. And I know that oftentimes I have said, well, you know, I'll do my homeschooling and be an example that way and raise my homeschooling kids. But we really need to be advocates for homeschooling in the sense of helping others move out of the public schools and out of the Christian schools and into the homeschools. And so that was Andrew Pudua. And then I also listened to Michael Ferris. And of course, Michael Ferris is the president of HSLDA and an incredible lawyer and has stood for homeschoolers and with homeschoolers for over 30 years. And you definitely want to hear him and learn more of him if you are not familiar with him. And one of the things that he talked about was the Remika family, I believe it is, who was the German family that came over here in asylum who was homeschoolers. And of course, homeschooling is illegal in Germany. And so they came to the United States under political asylum. And he mentioned how what is quite ironic is that we have, you know, thousands upon thousands of illegal immigrants that are here. And, you know, we can give them the benefit of that. They're here for economic reasons, wanting to be able to make it better for themselves and for their family. And they're not turned away. They're allowed to stay here in this country and to work. And yet, and they've done it illegally. Whereas this family came over from Germany seeking political asylum, filled out all the necessary paperwork, went through all the necessary channels, and then went through appeals courts and everything else to try to be able to find get political asylum. And at the very last, after they had been allowed to stay and appealed and allowed to stay, the Obama administration and the higher appellate courts who were taking orders from the Obama administration denied them the ability to stay here. So, of course, Michael Ferris is fighting for them to be able to stay, and he is making this a last-ditch effort, a last battle, so to speak, for them. And I hope that he wins. And it's just tragic that that kind of thing is going on. And, of course, here we take for granted many of the liberties that we do have to be able to homeschool, but it's not far off. And the big state governments, the big government people really want to be able to slap down upon homeschoolers. And we've made it to the point now where we're not necessarily a threat. We're getting to the 5% that I forget who it was now spoke. Maybe it was Michael Ferris or Andrew Pudua. I'm not sure which one. But they talked about how between 5 and 15% is really where it's a critical mass minority in the populace that begins to get the attention of those who are currently the powers that be. And they do not want a 5 to 15% minority to be vocal about anything. And so it's at that stage where they really began to put the brakes on some of these things. So we've really been able to grow without a lot of pressure as homeschoolers. But as we begin to surpass that 5% mark, I believe that there's going to be more pressure upon us, and it's going to be you're going to be able to start seeing some governments and some powers that be begin to try to implement laws that would prevent homeschooling. And so be aware of that, be careful for it, and make sure that you are a part of the HSLDA and to be able to support your right to be able to homeschool. So that was pretty much Michael Ferris. And then I also went to a talk by Joe Tyler called Raising G-Rated Sons in an R-Rated World. And, of course, that was primarily about internet pornography and how to prevent our children from having access to that. And I didn't really learn a whole lot more than what I had already learned other than just being reminded of how easy it is for young people, even adults, to get involved in something like that. And so It's important for us as fathers, particularly, to make sure that there are barriers in our homes and on all the various ways in which people can access the internet, make sure that there are ways that there are checks for us to be able to keep that out of the hands of our children as best as possible. Of course, you can hear all that again on his talk if you get the MP3. And then I went to three talks by Joel Salatin. Of course, that was the main reason why my son and I went there. And I was real excited, too, because on the Friday, I went with three of my children. And then on Saturday, I went with two of my children. And they're getting to the age now where they're actually wanting to go to homeschool conferences, which is a real, real delight of mine. So Joel Salatin, of course, he's just a great communicator and talks wonderfully about the importance of local foods and sustainable foods and growing foods for yourself and for your family and getting children involved. And of course, one of his talks, first one that he had was child-friendly food production. And he talked about eight reasons why kids need to grow things and what they're supposed to grow and how they're supposed to grow and when they're supposed to grow, all these different things. It's a great talk talking about it. And emphasizing various aspects of getting the kids to work and desiring to work and how they're supposed to work with you and what kinds of things are helpful for them to be able to be motivated to work. And so I encourage you to pick up the MP3 and listen to Joel Salatin's talk on child-friendly farming. He also talked about another thing I have looked into some since the conference that you might have an interest in. I'll put a link in the show notes to it as well. But it's called spin farming, and the way that I can best describe it, spin, of course, stands for small plot intensive farming, and the idea behind it is they have just come up with a plan to use small plots to produce market gardens and to be able to make an income off of it. And there's nothing really novel about what they've done, but they have an excellent marketing package and a way by which you can go from ground zero all the way up into producing for market in a very short time. And so if you are considering producing a market garden of any kind, I really encourage you to look up into spin farming. And again, I'll put a link in the show notes for that. And then Joel's other two talks, one of them was related to kind of the conventional agricultural model paradigm and how that is a problem for those of us who want to eat normally and eat healthily. And of course, it goes along with his book, Folks, This Ain't Normal, Everything I Want to Do Is Illegal, and you know, all the various books that he has out there. But this was talking about, you know, what is considered normal in agriculture and what is considered normal in farming and how that is a problem. And so that was a good talk as well. And, you know, many other ones. And so it was a good conference and I was inspired. I still have to go back through and reread some of my notes and catch up on some of the things where I'm spotty on. But I wanted to get this out to you to get you the information that might inspire you to make the purchase for the MP3 and to look at the various conference speakers and to acquire the information and the inspiration that you need so that you might be able to better homeschool your kids and be an evangelist for homeschooling and be able to pass on that kind of legacy. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?
All we leave behind, time after time, is a legacy with nothing to show. Now our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? Thank you. world we'll have to say goodbye. But just like the plant that withers away, we will leave many seeds behind. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? Change your legacy. What will you do to change?